Another busy week. Sometimes it's not so much the number of events. If you look at what's on the Holy Father's calendar, it's the size of some of the events, the importance, if you will.
Yeah.
And we'll be looking primarily this morning at two of those events. And one really was the decree that was released in the Monday afternoon edition with the following day's date of the Vatican paper L'Osservatore Romano. And that was the decree on the cult for John Paul II, when he's blessed John Paul. And many, many bishops, priests, liturgists, and even lay people have been wondering on what day, for example, when will his feast day be? Well, the important thing to know for his feast day, which we found out will be in the Diocese of Rome and the Dioceses of Poland, his feast day will be on October 22nd. And there's two interesting things about that. One, the fact that he is a blessed, the Church says that a person who has become blessed may be venerated on a local level in their country. Well, obviously, this man was a universal pastor of the Catholic Church. So Rome, he was the Bishop of Rome. Poland, he was from Poland. They have set the date in those places because you're supposed to be more or less local. They've set the date for his feast as October 22nd, which, interestingly enough, is not the day he died, because most often a saint or blessed's feast day will be the day they died. That is the day they were born into eternal life. And on October 22nd, 1978, was the day that John Paul began his pontificate. So having been elected on the 16th of October. So they have chosen that day. Can other churches celebrate this with special permission? They can contact the Holy See to find out. But the Church is allowing, probably for this very reason, the Church is allowing a year from May 1st, 2011 to May 1st, 2012, a year in which masses of Thanksgiving can be celebrated. And this decree listed the various words, the text, and so forth that can be used.
Well, the city is certainly gearing up to the 1st of May, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And, of course, traffic of recent days, it's like this is just a normal day. This isn't even May 1st, so May 1st is kind of scary from that point of view. But there's going to be a lot of road closures. Pilgrims are going to have to walk fairly good distances from where their bus will let them off and or be parked later. But there was a meeting in Capitol Hill this week. That's the city hall.
It's where the mayor has his office.
Exactly.
He's the one who organizes the logistics.
Exactly. But Rome is had this meeting the other day, and Cardinal Vallini, of course, the vicar for the Diocese of Rome, was there. And they made announcements about the number of volunteers that will be used throughout the city. And also, as far away as the port of Civitavecchia, there are maybe cruise ships coming in, let people off, and they're coming to Rome for the day to either celebrate May Day, Labor Day.
Right.
May 1 throughout Europe is Labor Day, as well as the beatification.
And let's just remind people again that tickets are not for sale.
We cannot say that enough.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, no tickets are needed in the first place.
Exactly.
So anybody that tries to sell you one is on the wrong side of the law.
Absolutely.
As we might want to say.
Okay.
So lots of volunteers, lots of extra buses, lots of extra cars will be put on subway lines. They will run more frequently. So I think anybody in the transport business is going to look at quite a number of days without a day off.
Right.
And that's good, but and it's necessary.
Lots of bottles of water.
A million. The volunteers will be distributing a million bottles of water. And also, I found this fascinating. There's going to be 13.5-foot, 14-foot bronze statue of John Paul placed in front of the railroad station. And there actually is a debate underway about naming the station after the Pope.
Oh,
That was put forth actually some time ago, and there's other people know the historic name of Termini, which refers to the baths, the Terme, around the station. Yes, so Rome is definitely gearing up. And, you know, it's going to work out beautifully. If you're a listener and you're coming to Rome, I wouldn't have any fears. There's going to be big crowds. Yes, you can do it. Because when John Paul died in 2005, Nobody knew when he was going to die. Nobody could even predict nearly 4 million people would come to Rome. And you know what the city did? It fed them. It housed them. It gave them water. There were like 3+ million bottles of water handed out in a few days. Tent cities were set up in stadiums. If you came to Rome and couldn't get any place to put your head, there were cots available in the fairgrounds. So when Rome was not at all prepared for that number of people, they did a fabulous job. But May 1st will be a mixture of, as the city official said the other day, probably 300,000, 400,000 people coming just for May Day.
For the concert.
For the concert. There's right. always a big concert at St. John Lateran. I know there's going to be a musical event on Monday night, May 2nd, at Campidoglio. Actually, Cardinal Civitz, the Pope's former secretary for 40 years, will also be there. So they're expecting almost the same number of people, if not more, for the beatification, as they are for the May 1st Labor Day celebrations.
The other big significant, shall we say, event that happened in the Vatican was the presentation of the UCAT, wasn't it? What is the UCAT?
Well, UCAT, of course, is short for Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. It is a catechism. It's based on the 1992 Catechism of the Catholic Church with language that is very accessible and more the language that young people would use. And it actually comes from J-U, from the German word Jugend, meaning youth, and then K-A, the beginning of the German word for catechism, and they simply made it U-Y-O-U, cat, C-A-T.
That's because it was originally written in German, wasn't it?
Exactly. The catechism was written in German, translated into other languages, and in all fairness, we must mention, because it's frankly made all the headlines of the papers, that there were some pretty important errors in the Italian translation of the German, which can be German, a difficult language to translate. There was a significant error which, had it been allowed to pass, would have changed the teaching of the church on contraception. And the Italian version, it wasn't the answer that was wrong, it was the question that was wrong. The correct question, number 420, that was the wrong one. The correct question should have been, may a Christian married couple regulate the number of children they have? And the answer, yes, a Christian married couple may and should be responsible in using the gift and privilege of transmitting life. And then after these answers, by the way, they always give the actual numbers in the catechism to which this refers. So the Italian, which was passed out at the press conference, had an insert with the correct Italian, and the question in the book was actually penned out by people at the Vatican press office before they gave it to journalists.
I think they're going to be reprinted, aren't they?
Oh, they are going to be reprinted. Now, the whole procedure, we don't have to go into that here, but there were people responsible with the correct theological backgrounds, knowledge of the catechism in each of the six languages so far. They're aiming for 12 by the end of the year and 25 by the end of next year.
They're really aiming towards World Youth Day, aren't they?
Well, they're aiming towards World Youth Day, which, of course, we really forgot to say. And a lot of the participants in putting this catechism together are young people who will be present in Madrid in August of this year for World Youth Day. But it's really going beyond that. They're looking at using this for the new evangelization. And that's why Archbishop Fisichella, head of the new Pontifical Council for New Evangelization, was there. Cardinal Christoph Schönborn, of the Archbishop of Vienna, was there because actually this kind of all started in his backyard. And he's been like overseeing this. And he was one of the prime movers in asked in 1987 by Cardinal Ratzinger, now Benedict, to put together a new Catechism of the Catholic Church, which, as we know, the final version came out in different languages in 1992. So he has this background and this knowledge. He was the really perfect person to do that. So UCAT is very colorful. We have it right here. And very
bright yellow.
Well, yellow and white, Vatican colors. So, and there's a big Y on the front cover, over which are the word UCAT. And this Y is composed of different crosses. The book contains pictures, a lot of pictures taken by the young people themselves. They want it to be, I hesitate to use the word entertaining, maybe interesting.
But pictures of what?
Oh, pictures of young people, pictures of something, maybe a couple, related to questions in this part of the catechism, or what do we believe? I mean, here's a picture of apparently a mosaic. I'm just guessing what it is, and the Holy Spirit. Here is another picture of what looks to be an interreligious dialogue gathering. There's pictures. There's actually what they call cartoons, not in the traditional sense of the word. Here is a young man beginning a procession. He's carrying the cross in an altar. God, and this is, for example, in the chapter, God and Sacred Liturgy.
It almost looks like a guidebook.
It does. It's glossy. It's nice pages. The actual catechism part of it is yellow. So whatever page you open to, the question and answers are going to be on that yellow block on that page.
They've obviously gone for a really user-friendly format.
Well, you know, I want to read this myself. I really do. It'll be interesting to look at the language. They say, again, language accessible to young people, because the catechism probably was certainly better. Anybody could sit down and read it, but the catechism would be better for those teaching, for RCIA, for religious education courses. And
but if you haven't got much time, as many young people
exactly.
don't, you pick it up and
there is an app. If memory serves me, I don't think it comes out until May 1st. There is an app for UCAT. For iPhones and for your smartphones.
Okay.
So, well, Tuesday we had Father Federico Lombardi issue a statement. He was asked by reporters about the Belgian Bishop Roger Vangeloui, whose resignation was accepted a year ago by the Pope because of involvement in a sex abuse case, and whom the Vatican has now ordered to seek help. They were just more or less seeking a confirmation from Father, and it was said that the bishop will have to leave the country, leave his own country, and undergo a period of spiritual and psychological treatment. So without going into the, any more matters, that's basically a summary look at what that, because again, this was something that made the internet, made the news, made the papers, and obviously it's important to mention it and clarify it. And we have a meeting 3 days this week, the commission established by Pope Benedict to study the important issues regarding the Catholic Church in China. They had a 3-day meeting, and their first plenary was held in March of 2008, then 2009, 2010. And of course, the Pope had written a letter addressed to Chinese Catholics on May 27th, 2007. And as I think all of our listeners know, there's many tense situations with the government in China not allowing the official church linked to Rome, obedient to the Pope, to freely function. Exactly. And then the other big event of the week, of course, it's always big from the point of view of people present, was the Pope's general audience.
Right.
He's been dedicating all kinds of catechesis to saints, doctors of the church, and he dedicated the Wednesday catechesis this week to holiness. How we can all be holy. Do not be afraid of holiness. Holiness is living the fulfillment of charity. And don't be afraid to be holy or to seek holiness.
Especially in the lead up to Easter.
For sure. Absolutely. So it was a busy week.
Okay. Thank you very much, Joan.